Welcome to Journeys into Enlightenment with Janet. Join Janet and her friends as they gather at the intersection of consciousness and self-experience, what being consciousness in human form is all about. Access heart-centered awareness with them and feel the difference in the moment that will last a lifetime.
Hello, and welcome to Journeys into Enlightenment with Janet. I'm Janet Barrett. Each episode, I invite you to join me and my guest in the celebration that life is. It might not always seem that way, but for us, we embody the realities of oneness and wholeness. Oneness is our shared experience, and wholeness is our sense of consciousness that appreciates the stuff that happens to each of us in our individual experiences we call self. The stuff that happens. It is allowing these trials and tribulations that come our way to enrich our journeys in this physical realm. It is our evolving rule sets that form the realities we are embracing. We take responsibility for demonstrating how we each be in form. Be present with us each episode, and you will appreciate in more enriching ways this journey we call life. Many find the reality of death hard to deal with. It generates a lot of resistance and rejection in many of our Western cultures. Sort of gets a bad rap, as opposed to our indigenous brethren viewpoints. Death, in their terms, is not to be feared. It is part of the whole experience in being. So, what would be useful and helpful? How many of us have experiences with those who have passed from this physical realm? My guest, world-renowned medium Hollister Rand, will provide new insights into the awareness of what comes after death in the continuum that life is. Her new book is Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About the Afterlife But Were Afraid to Ask. Hollister has been in communion and communication with the spirit realm as a medium for over 25 years. Join us as we find peace and solace in the knowledge that our loved ones never truly leave us. We had such a good time when recording this conversation that this episode 43 will be part 1 and episode 44 will be part 2 and releasing in a few weeks. Be sure to listen for it. Let's take a moment right now to appreciate being alive, being in form, and then just being present, and being able to experience information that is in malleable time and space, being open to communicating with energies and spirits that have walked this earth plane and now don't in the same way. Letting go of the resistance and the emotional burdens that we can be ensnared in about life, death, ghosts, and the things left behind that can haunt us. Just breathe. Just feel your heartbeat. You are alive, and these are two of the dynamics of being alive. And let the two infuse each other. Breathe in essence, the dynamics of the infinite being, and feel it interact with your human heart. Let your exhale be release. What is it like to let go of our rigid definitions and labels about potential and energy and dead or alive? It is all life in some state or another, be it rock or toe. Life is always. Life is the element that connects us all. It is the life of consciousness. Our language will be of divinity with Hollister. We replace human judgment with frequency of vibration. The vibration of divine love is quiet and timeless. Fear is not present in this vibration. We replace expectation with anticipation. We let go of the lie of separateness. We are in the realm of the afterlife. Life that no longer is alive. We are in connection with loved ones who have passed on and are still available to interact with. We are in the realm of the medium, those who have open communication with spirits of our loved ones, and of ghosts, though strangers to us perhaps, but still having agendas to resolve on the physical plane. It has been a delight to experience Hollister, to meet over the air and exchange field awareness of life. You will find her to be gracious, articulate, joyous, and deeply filled with the appreciation of spiritual dynamics that we all embody. She is down to earth in her expansive love of life with a light heart. She is passionate in the wisdom, solace, and comfort that is all around us when we're willing to ask and listen. She herself has been talking with spirits from a very early age. During the last 25 years, Hollister's dedication to the healing work of mediumship has included events and workshops in the United States and abroad. Her work on television includes Tori and Dean, Home Sweet Hollywood, and America Now. Her radio appearances include series XM's The Seance with John Edward on John Edward's Psychic Radio, KOST-FM's Angels in Waiting, KBIG-FM's Radio Medium, and Coast to Coast with George Norrie. Hollister's first book, I'm Not Dead, I'm Different, Kids in Spirit Teach Us About Living a Better Life on Earth, is available at Amazon. This new book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About the Afterlife But Were Afraid to Ask, is also available on Amazon. Hollister lives in Los Angeles with her impossibly small chihuahuas, Bodhi and Amara Mehta. You can visit her website, hollisterrand.com, and on facebook.com, Hollister Rand. Hello, Hollister. Thanks for joining me today.
I'm delighted to be here.
Oh, this is going to be a powerful experience for all of us. We've already had our technical problems. We'll hope they'll calm down. So we're going to talk about something that really challenges many people, and that's about death.
Well, a friend of mine said to me the other day, have you ever considered that you are unusually suited to have difficult conversations with people? And, for me, death is, I mean, it's my work. But it's mm-hmm. not death that I talk about. It's essentially life that I talk about.
Exactly.
The work that I do is releasing the old ideas that we may hold or the stories that we tell ourselves around dying, death, separation, and bringing life into the conversation.
There you go, everyone. So you know where we're going this time. And it's about being present and how life unfolds. So let's just take a few moments here because we've got lots of information. And I want to make sure that all of us are in a really special place to deal with what might show up. Noticing the breath. And not any particular breath. Just become aware of your breathing. And then become aware of your heartbeat. And become aware of the breath going through the heartbeat. And the heartbeat going through the breath. And this is where we bring our beingness into form. It's already there. It's just the way we usually tend to organize it. And we're just bringing our awareness of how at our core essence, spirit realm, whatever your words are for consciousness, God, source, whatever it might be, cabbage. I like cabbage because you can't be too attached to cabbage. And it's good for you. And just notice what it's like to be present. Put your stories and beliefs and concepts all over there. And just feel the freedom, the sacredness of being within yourself. The state of oneness with all of us. And you can feel how Hollister has a wonderful focus on death, like she's talked about. But it's not death in the sense of how we might have think about it. It's about life. So just notice life never ending, like the Mobius strip, where it's the figure eight that turns on itself. And so we're in form, we're out of form, we're in form, we're out of form, we're out of form, we're in form. And this is how we experience the world and what we call reality. So just noticing your comfort, absolute quiet. Notice the quiet in the field. And there's just an acceptance of being here. And that whatever might show up over the next while with Hollister and I is useful. It's not there to scare us or torment us. It's about enjoying life in all its incarnations and incandescence and whatever we consider energy to be. It's the core essence of life. So what are you noticing right in this moment, Hollister?
Well, what I'm noticing is quiet and silence, which is so valuable right now because there's a lot of noise, both internal and external. So, you know, just some space for quiet is so welcomed.
Yeah. So there we go. Oh, there's that echo. All right. Well, this may dodge us a little bit today. We'll see how it goes. So if we were going to talk about everything you always wanted to know about, let me get to this title correctly here. So because we've everything you always wanted to know about the afterlife, but were afraid to ask. I loved your title. So where do we go with this? Where does it feel like right now in this moment that comes to mind for you to share?
Well, the first thing is this idea of quiet and space. People ask me if the spirits ever get annoyed at us. You know, do they, you know, get irritated by things that we do or don't do? And not really. I mean, they have eternity, so there is patience in that. But if there is a complaint from the complaint department of the afterlife, it would simply be this: you ask, but you don't pause enough for an answer.
That is so true, isn't it?
So this space that we've created here today, and which everyone can create wherever they are at any time, that space between your own thoughts, that idea of just letting your thoughts go by so that there is space to be inspired by those you love in spirit, that is a great place to start.
I think you're catching for all of us is that in the daily life, sometimes we're so distracted by what's going on and where our focus goes that we don't remember. We can ask a question because mind chatters like crazy, right? And then it takes this huge epiphany to wake us up. That there's something there to pay attention to. And so what you're articulating about is how life doesn't always have to hit you between the eyes to get your attention. And I know certainly in the work that I've done with spirit and dynamics and different energies and stuff, that sometimes it is so subtle, the connection, the information between energies and entities, that you really have to appreciate being willing to let the quiet be real, like we're talking
well,
about.
Well, you know, it's preferable to connect in the subtlety than it is to wait for a ton of bricks to fall on your head. But unfortunately, being human like we are, we tend to opt out of addressing things prior to the time they become a crisis. So then what happens is here we find ourselves in times of crisis. And even in those times when the usual distractions are removed from our lives, we add in different distractions. So there's binge watching and binge cooking and binge eating and anything with binge, you know, in front of it. And so even in the midst of crisis, the pain within us is crying out for distraction, but what it really is asking for is healing. And that is where the spirits show up, at the nexus of crisis and the desire for healing.
Because it's all about contrast, right? And so you know how the child that needs something will create an issue, right, to get your attention. And obviously, usually by that time, the parent or someone is already irritated and they're not seeing the cry for help. And we're always crying for help. I think that's the human and help, condition.
And help is always here. But it is important to know that the spirits can intervene, but they can't interfere. And that is where the idea of free will, asking, being willing to receive, working in cooperation with a broader consciousness than what we just bring to the table, and aligning ourselves with the biggest and highest energies of the universe. And so that's where I come from, the frequency of divine love. And in that space, it is surprisingly quiet. It lifts us above the everyday and takes us into a place of timelessness, where we don't believe the lie of the virus, which is that we are separate, that we are isolated, that we are not joined, and that we will all die. And the truth is, you can look at that and say, yeah, we all die, but the spirits have a different answer for that. And and I'm kind of the purveyor of that information.
All right, everyone. So let's just notice she's raised some very good points already. We're already there. So what it's like to just allow for the quiet. There we go. And what it'd be like to be willing to listen. There has to be a willingness. And what she's talking about. Now, you mentioned the difference between interference and what?
Well, intervention.
Intervention.
Rather than interference.
Yes. Okay, so in noticing that and what that's about, and consider maybe all the times that you had someone who you knew or loved and you wondered why you couldn't hear them after they passed, but maybe there's a way you could. And what it'd be like to just be open. And this is all about being open to information around us all the time. But it may come in a way that you're not familiar with or expecting. You're in a habituated state, not an open state. And there's a difference there. So in just noticing what it'd be like, and maybe this episode, what we can do is think of those that you might like information from, and what it would be like to be open to enjoying them again in this way, with them there and you here. And both Hollister and I are very familiar with how that is a wonderful experience that does not have to be dictated by the form. It is just information in transition and in different states of reality. So notice what it'd be like, and maybe by the time we're done here today, you'll have a better awareness.
One of the ways that I approach spirit communication is with anticipation rather than expectation.
Ooh,
the idea that spirit is already here, that they desire the connection, but that we limit it by the way we expect it to happen or not happen. Let's say you had a difficult conversation or you were angry with someone and then they died. Can you imagine that there's a way back to have that conversation that you never had? But if you're holding that anger and don't think that that is possible, that itself may be a block to communication. So letting all of that, the ideas of limitation, go.
Wonderful point. Yep, that's self. Self is the limit. It sets the boundaries. So everyone just be noticing what it'd be like to just loosen up. And remember, it's all over there. It's not here. You're just in a state of openness. And just see what shows up. Now, I think a lot of people, Hollister, have the idea, or they live in a reality state that's about strong contrast, so that it's good and evil and weak and poor and all these kind of distinctions that really are not helpful because they're in a judgment state about how something shows up or what it is, and then they judge it. So what we're looking to do is get past all that, all those definitions, and just what if there's an informational flow and what that would be like. Don't you think we might take all those labels off?
That's exactly how I teach mediumship. One of the first things I do when people say, I want to be a medium, is we work on releasing any judgments we have about what is right, what is wrong, what is God, what isn't God, is there a goddess, is there a devil? We let go of all of those things because, you know, the bottom line is, if you don't like skinny people, let's say, you know, you just don't like skinny people, do you think skinny spirits are going to come speak with you? No. So the idea of letting go of judgments that we have, so working with ourselves and releasing that kind of judgment, and the most difficult kind is self-judgment. The most difficult kind is, you know, am I really hearing from someone I love or am I making that up? Why would they take the time out of eternity to speak with me? What? You mean I have sensitivity where I have a gift that can help someone else? Are you kidding? I can't even tie my own shoes. You know, so we run judgment all the time. And I had a friend when we would be driving in the car and I'd be like, why did that person have to pull out right then? You know, and he'd look at me and go, ticket. And I found that by the end of the day and being in the car, I had like 100 tickets I needed to hand out. So I've come to understand that we do that all the time without noticing.
Right.
So it's really key because then you move out of what's right, what's wrong, and into the space of frequency, where it's vibration and frequency rather than right or wrong, good or bad, black or white.
I think what you're talking about is how to have the rule set, your reality set, that it's about wonder. And if you're into experiencing wonder, you're not into judgment. Because you're appreciating and holding gratitude about what shows up. And if you're not in judgment of it, then you're free to experience it in ways that you can't. And it's kind of like the innocence. For me, this is coming to mind, that innocence is never lost. What it is, it's just gains experience. And when you hold that you know it all or you've had enough certain kinds of experience, it puts you into judgment. You've lost your discernment. And so it really kind of captures your attention in a way that's not always useful.
Well, and where I come from is always connection. So I look at what promotes connection with ourselves, each other, and the spirits, and what stands in the way of that connection. You know, people want to work really hard at being a medium and being connected to loved ones when really much of the work is just getting your own junk out of the way because the connection is already there.
It
truly is. This is, you know, I'd like to say that what I do is infinitely hard. Maybe then I would get a certain level of respect, but that's not what I'm in it for. I am in it to let other people know that they can do it too. You know, to sort of be the one that goes, hey, jump in, the water's fine. And let me show you how not to make all the mistakes that I've made on the journey here. So guide them around the potholes.
Well, you know, we all earn those potholes, I gotta be honest. But your potholes may be a little different than mine, but there are definitely going to be some that are shared there, that's for sure. So what you're showing us and demonstrating so clearly, everyone, I want you to hear her vibrancy. Hollister has great vibrancy and warmth. And that's the most wonderful way to embrace being connected, because that's what you get from connection. And whether you want to call it love or dancing, whatever it is, in being vibrantly passionate about being alive. And that's our reference. That's where we start from. So in just noticing, how alive are you? How you respond to stimuli, and it comes from different places. What if there's no reason to question? We're always talking podcasts. I'm always looking to offer you that you are already present. It's just your awareness that's not so strong. So as you open up, like she's saying, all the information's already there. You're just bringing your awareness into the moment about it. So this is effortless. This is easy. It does not, you don't get credit for it being difficult. You're making yourself difficult. So in being open to information and appreciating those references that have set you up and what you want to do with them. So what else are you noticing about life right in this moment, Hollister?
You know, that's a really interesting question. And I'm not sure that life can be defined. Life and death have become a very gray area. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be that people would get an infection or they'd get pneumonia or something, and, you know, 24 hours they'd be dead. Mm-hmm. These days there's elongated illnesses, and, you know, people are living with Alzheimer's, and there are people who are living on machines. Mm-hmm. Keeping them alive. And mm-hmm. so the idea of a clear delineation between life and death is a bit more challenging these days. And so perhaps we can embrace or look at the idea that it is all life, the whole process, mm-hmm. the moving through it, mm-hmm. and that nobody goes through that process on their own. And mm-hmm. and this, I think, is extremely important, especially as we're dealing with the idea of people being isolated in hospitals or, yes. you know, in care facilities. There's this thought of they can't be with their family. Their family isn't there with them. Well, know that there is family on either side of what we mm-hmm. call life. And be mm-hmm. assured that family is present. Loved ones are there. And maybe we can take a look at what we feel we're not getting out of someone else's dying experience, because that is one of the great challenges we have to connection. They died alone. I should have been there. Yeah, it shouldn't right. have happened this way. He died too young. All of those things that we tell ourselves about death and dying and making someone else's dying experience our own. Is something to take a look at.
So what came up earlier with all our stuff was before we got on the air was the word isolation and how that's self-created. And the body can be isolated, but what we're talking about is the level of awareness of the core essence, where there is no isolation, there's only oneness and connection. And that this is how prisoners of war and different stress situations that may have been in isolation, and this is how they kept themselves together, because they realized it had to become much more than just the body. And what you're talking about is right now in this time of virus is the fears that get magnified and the idea that our loved ones are being isolated and having to choose to isolate themselves when, no, I need them right here. I talk to them 5 times a day, you know, whatever the stories are, and that we feel it. We feel the isolation, and that's because we're only thinking in terms or feeling the physicalness of it. But life, like you said, doesn't matter what form it's in. It can be a live tissue or it can be an inanimate tissue. It's still life, depending upon the reality state that the information is in. And you're doing such a marvelous job to make us all aware of of how we've organized ourselves, that we are so in touch with our physicalness that we've created separation issues about that form and where we think we are and where we know ourselves to be. So everyone, be paying attention here. Just notice. And one way that's very helpful, I think, is to feel, just take a moment, everyone, feel yourself inside yourself. Feel yourself inside your skin. And feel what that feels like. And now I just want you to feel outside, beyond the skin, beyond your form. Because you're immediately into your aura state awareness. And feel that opening that happens. You're much beyond the body. And this is what Hollister focuses on, is that the energies that have left the form that are still present and you can call upon at any time, if you allow yourself to organize yourself that way. There we go. That's got some shift to it. So we're really doing a marvelous job, Hollister, I think, at organizing a great foundation state about what energy is, what life is, what our concepts are that really are almost a hindrance to being open to experiencing what's possible about being alive and the being that's in the form and the being that's out of the form. So everyone just, here we go. There you go. We're all kind of having to shift states of awareness. There's a lot of emotional reference that Hollister has so well articulated how someone else is about us. Because they're in our field. They refer back to us. So we don't want to judge that. We bless them, actually, for being in our lives and with what that relation is like. Could be fun. It could be painful. There we go. And she mentioned earlier about anger that can be involved with when someone passes over and those, the resolution that either was there or not there. So what would it be like right now in this time of virus to appreciate that whether your loved one is physically in front of you or behind a glass wall or 5 miles down the road and farther, you're right there with them. This is what psychics and intuitives do all the time. We feel our friends and family, our connections, and we don't have to be next to them at all. What are you noticing, Hollister?
Well, what I'd love to do with people is this spirit hug meditation that I've been using. Because in this, you know, this lie that we believe about isolation and separateness, what I hear people say is, I miss being hugged by you, or I really need a hug, or, you know, there's this feeling, you know, that even if we did hug someone, we'd have to like turn our heads maybe and not, you know, I mean, it's, you know, we're doing calisthenic hugs, you know, maybe we can hug back to back. I don't know, but you know, but one of the things that the spirits inspired me to do while I was up in San Francisco right before everything changed was to introduce the idea of a spirit hug. So if there's a place where we could do that here, let me know.
Right now.
Okay. Right now. So, no problem. You know, when you are missing someone that you love and someone who is in spirit, one of the ways that you can set up the connection and be very present with their presence and become more aware of them is this idea of a spirit hug. So feeling yourself in your chair, feet on the floor, hands in your lap, however you are most comfortable, allowing your head to rest comfortably on your neck without having to strain, just being balanced. And imagine if you had a picture or your loved one was standing within arm's length of you, and you gaze at this person, at this favorite pet, perhaps, and just feel the love in your heart center reaching out to that person. This can even be someone who is currently sharing the earth plane with us, but maybe not in your household or across the United States or the world. But all of a sudden, feel how that love moving outward begins to set up a connection. And as you feel this and sit with this, that love can even move out further. It can move toward neighbors, friends, other loved ones in spirit. It can move toward those who are looking to find healing remedies for the virus, for those who are bringing support to people in need. This love can move out throughout your state, throughout the country, throughout the world. It can begin to encompass the world and begin to hold the entire world in the love of spirit and the divine. And in this space, we are divinely connected. And as we sit here, imagine this, that love that began in our hearts and moved out to hug the people that we love, to touch our neighbors and people that we did not even know, to surround the world, begins to return to us. And as we sit here, the love of all becomes the love of one. The love of one becomes the love of all. And in that, we are connected. We find solace, we find comfort, we find healing, and ultimately, peace.
There we go. Yeah, I think it's about, you know, there's so much to be gained in any experience. And one thing about this virus is that it's very good at showing the layers of connection, and whether it's you being breathed, your breath passing on something, or it's where someone is, or all the people you come in contact and you have no awareness of where someone caught you or you caught them. And it's about breaking down isolation and separateness into new ways, into new awareness, that it's not just the body, it is what we project always. So in our level of awareness that we are love, which is what you're sharing with us, and how it crosses all boundaries, and people want love, but they don't realize that they're not love. They're holding themselves separate. And this is a lovely experience about reminding us that it has to come within us. It comes out of us. And this is what we offer. And just because it shows up in someone else, we are a shared genetic morphic resonance. And as we look at how we're actively transformational reality creating all the time, and what is it we want to create out of this? The thing about viruses is they replicate so quickly. And I have spent a time when this got started a couple, 2-3 months ago, about looking at the virus as how is it useful? And if I looked at it in terms of that, I let go of what my perceptions of it were and what my judgments of it were and just how is it useful? And I took the reality that that virus that can replicate itself and adapt, very adaptive. And this is what kind of challenges people at times because they experience it all in different ways. It's adapting. Is I put the wisdom of the sages there. And I added the irrepressible human spirit. And I added tolerance for all. And if I put those together into that petri dish that the virus is and allowed it to absorb, then the only ones who had an interaction with it physically were those that had something out of the reference of it. But that it could be around, but I didn't have to experience it. It didn't have to be my reality. And I think you're showing us, Hollister, how those rule sets that we have about life and the framework of consciousness and oneness and that we all are in this together. And that's what's so exciting about this consciousness leap that we're all in. So everyone, just notice what it would be like to be manifesting vibrancy of life. And it's not about the length of life, it's the vibrancy of life. Because life is never ending, and in consciousness, where there's no time and space, or we realize how fluid they are, things come and go, and time expands, and time shifts. It's malleable. And this, all the whole concept of death is about malleable time and space. So just notice what it's like to be a little freer. There we go. How are you doing, Hollister? Thank you.
Just, you know, something occurred to me, you know, with social media and all of this, and I teach college and I've been a speaker at colleges. And I mentioned to the classes I'm speaking with, you know what it is that I do, because you know what it is to send out a message and have it reach a whole bunch of people that you either don't know or live in a whole different place from you. Mm-hmm. Whereas my grandmother didn't even have a telephone. So and for years, when she finally got a telephone, she was screaming down the line at us, you know, like she had to holler, you know, downstate to for us to hear her. So what people take for granted right now did not exist. And so this idea of things going viral as being a good thing, you know, when something went viral, what that meant was, you know, you wanted things to go viral. I mean, that was what everybody wanted. And I find it very interesting that that is actually what we have now.
Yes, totally.
And so when I look at this, I say, all right, what were we really asking for? When something goes viral, what were we really asking for? We were asking for connection. Mm-hmm. We were asking that people would hear us. You know, like you put out a tweet and it goes viral and everybody, we were asking that something would change in our reality by going viral, that an idea would take hold, that that what people believed would begin to shift, that you would have an effect on people's consciousness. So we were asking for that. And I'm not saying, you know, we brought this on ourselves and we should blame ourselves for coronavirus. Please know that's not what I'm saying. But I'm looking at what is the ask. Mm-hmm. You know, we wanted things to go viral. So the ask is still there. And with this virus, it may be the delivery system of all of those things, of wanting to be connected, of wanting to have a shift, a social shift, of having an impact around the world, of bringing change, of rethinking things, of having a lot of people join in an idea for change and bringing healing and oneness and having pain heard. Mm-hmm. All of those things are opportunities that the virus gives to us. And this could be a tremendous reset, an opportunity for expansion of consciousness.
Totally. Yep, that's where we're at, everyone. So just notice, just let that echo out and see where it reverberates within you. And where it hits, and maybe where it you kind of question it. And it's allowing to us to all realize how powerful we are in this creating reality. Because I think what we did to do was we all had the question, what would it take to change things? And so something showed up. And who knew, right? We always want change to be easy, but so often we set it up that it's challenging, right? So let's just notice what it's like to appreciate being alive and opportunities abound. Look at all the reorienting that is taking place. We are questioning systems and how they've been set up and what we've taken for granted and what we don't notice anymore. And we're all in this together. So just allow your awareness to deepen and bring up, because what'll come up are all those things that you didn't know were in there. Because so much of us is hereditary information, don't you think, Hollister, as far as...
Oh, I find that, especially as I work with ancestors in spirit, because with the advent of Ancestry.com and all of that, it is calling the ancestors to us like never before.
That's true. And, you know, I'm surprised at my clients that have no idea of their ancestry. Right. And, you know, when you think about, OK, if you go back five generations, your fifth grandparents, that's over 32 families. And how many of them do you know? Right.
Right.
And so, OK, somebody shows up you have no awareness of, and they have may have been waiting for you to talk to you for a long time. I've seen that happen.
Absolutely. I have too. It's really fun when that happens. You know, yesterday I was talking with a client. I'm like, "Woo!" And it looks like you had a pioneer in your family. You know, I'm seeing someone who went out west and all this. He goes, "Oh my God, I was wondering if he was going to be here." And this was an ancestor of his. And this guy is thinking of moving, of striking out, of being a pioneer in a way and all of this. And he asked this guy to show up. I'm like, "Oh my God, the pioneer is here." And he was a bit of a rogue, you know, and maybe even a bit of the black sheep in the family. And all the stories that they were telling about him were indeed true. And this ancestor is uniquely suited to shepherd this guy through a new phase in his life. So our ancestors are there to help us. Absolutely.
Well, and it's already in the DNA, right?
Yes.
There's the resonance.
That's why there's the resonance.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. And that's always so fun. And it's interesting how people can be so unaware of something that's been with them for a long time, and they just haven't had the right framework in order to engage it, or them, or whatever the energy is. Could be the dog, could be, you know, from some, you know, could be the pet rock of five generations ago. It doesn't really matter. It's just that how it shows up can sometimes challenge us to appreciate what's been there, or those directions and skills and talents that we each have. We think that we're the only one, and then it turns out there's a whole family line of the same adventuring spirit is there in the same way, you know, but it's in the new generation.
It's so exciting, because Once again, it's about connection. Once again, it is about not being on your own, even if you don't know who came before you. You know, right. They were there before you, or you wouldn't be here.
All right, Hollister, this has just been such a warm experience. This has just been such a lovely bath of being in like residence. I want to thank you so much. We're getting caught up on time. So I think what we'll do, if you're able, let's have you come back and we will do the fun part. Probably a lot of people are interested in, you know, what that dance is between those that are not present anymore. And how about we focus on that for its own episode? Would that be all right?
I would love it.
All right. So everyone, we want to thank Hollister Rand and her wonderful book, Everything You Wanted to Know About the Afterlife, But We're Afraid to Ask. And we're going to get into that in depth in our next episode. Thank you, Hollister, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Hollister's influences and influencers are personal and won't be found at any link. Her mother, Joan Harriet Ferrer, who taught her to be a citizen of the world. Her grandmother, Jeanette Brophy Ferrer, who encouraged expression in words and writing. Evidence Ministries, her former music group, for inspiring her to link frequencies to spirit communication. And to all those who she's known who have died of complications due to HIV infection, they gave her the honor of their friendship and trusted her to be there as they lay dying. And her great uncle Emil, who died in the 1918 flu pandemic, she feels his presence now as they navigate the current pandemic. And to John Edward, who's a fellow medium who exemplifies ethical and no-nonsense mediumship excellence. Here is one of Hollister's favorite quotes, which is a favorite for many of my guests. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I will meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. And Rumi. These quotes come from Hollister herself. In days of physical distancing, spirits navigate among us as they always have, with unconditional love. The spirit's interest in us is to participate in our transformation. Spirits have memories of what it is like to live on Earth with deprivations due to war, famine, and economic depression. Their perspective can help us navigate these times. My blog for this episode is The Realm of the Medium. My guest for episode 43 and 44 is Hollister Rand. She is a well-known and respected medium. Since early childhood, she has had the ability, the openness, to communicate with the spirit realm. Her new book, Everything You Always Wanted to Know About the Afterlife But Were Afraid to Ask, is a great manual into the world of the medium. She offers clear information and language for the novice, the curious, or the natural to navigate this realm. She answers questions that might surprise you. Here is a comment from her book introduction. It rather sums up to me what mediumship opens us up to, curiosity, and the value we give to life. As a medium, passionate curiosity is to know the truth about life and death, and that has fueled my connection with spirits. I have always wanted to know the answers to big questions like, why are we here? And practical concerns like, will I be able to eat what I want to eat in the afterlife? In Hollister's terms, she refers to loved ones who have passed over as spirits, and ghosts are those energies that have agendas still with the physical realm. Spirits express the vibration of love, and ghosts out of the vibration of fear. I like this clarity and distinction. Choosing this time in history and virus to be alive is offering us opportunities to open and unfold into our senses and become comfortable in new ways. Being able to be open to wisdom from our passed over loved ones is enriching. The veil is thin between our physical and non-physical realms. It takes only a matter of tuning to receive in our expanded sensory awareness. One of Hollister's joys is to share with us how easy it can be for each of us to be in connection with our spirit guidance. Some of us speak and listen to the dead easily. It is no big deal when we are using consciousness technologies, as we appreciate that time and space are malleable and the forms are only illusions of thoughts. Our attachment to the physical form and the rules we think we exist in are realities of being, and beings are fluid. Our spiritual realms are our core essence and our collective awareness as consciousness, and everything known and unknown, manifested and unmanifested, potential and energy. We can unify behind one being or in being one. Both will embrace the information available in the realm of the medium in different ways. The truth is that if you are in the reality of oneness, shared morphic resonance, then is in the bits of information and photons dancing around and in us, and all that ever was still is. Those that we have had relation to in this time of awareness are still present, just in changed form. It is nice to know we are not alone, as one might think. Spirits will help us realize that often what we think is important is not. Our illusions about what life is are mutable. Solace and comfort from our own thoughts is possible. The unexplained can be explained if it is important and known. Our emotions are important and yet can be limiting. Be open to your curiosity. Be in a sense of gratitude that you've had experience together, and release and let. Release what you think is important. Let yourself feel different. Meditations from Interlude and Internet Retreat will return in a couple of episodes. You can visit Hollister at her website, HollisterRand.com, and on Facebook.com, HollisterRand.com. Thank you for joining me here at Journeys to Enlightenment with Janet. A new episode is released every 2 weeks. Any questions or thoughts or guests you'd like to suggest, you can email me directly at janetandbeyondpodcast@outlook.com. For more information about all the elements that make up each episode, they are on my podcast page at my website, www.janetandbeyond.com. While there, you will also find information about my other podcast show, Conscious Conversations with Joan and Janet, and all about my work with clients. You can sign up to receive my regular weekly blog, Life from the Beyond, Journeys into Enlightenment. If you are looking for other regular opportunities to sit in heart-centered awareness with myself and others, you can join us in my Fuzzy Photons Playground groups I offer on Wednesdays. Live interactive space via Zoom video conferencing. You can follow each episode of this podcast series on my YouTube channel, Journeys into Enlightenment with Janet Barrett. Till the next time, notice what feels different right in this moment. It is real, and it can last a lifetime.